Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Bag coffee, please. Bag coffee, please. Can I have a biscuit as well, please? Custard cream.
Can you hear her chuntering as she goes down the stairs?
Yeah.
Chunter.
I don't know.
How are you today, anyway?
Yeah,
are you
much better. Yeah, yeah. It was a very bad day yesterday. And literally everything. Yeah, it was thing after thing. It's like God's doing the forks at you. Like anything else, mate? Do you know what I mean?
I've never asked you if you're religious. Are you religious?
I believe something controls your day. I believe in something.
Who, what?
Sometimes, though, they do have it in for you, and that's what happened yesterday.
Infamy.
Infamy.
Well, I'm going to get to the pearly gates, and it's going to be a woman, isn't it?
Yeah. Any saucepans for me, Darren Runch? Well, I can give you a 2-speed Abadrill. You're going to have to negotiate your way in.
Brilliant. Right.
By the way, when you do get to the pearly gates, if you do get let in, as you're walking off as the gates closed, don't look back, if God is a woman, and ask for a coffee. Just a heads up. Just trying to help you, Darren. Right, are you ready to go?
No, I'll be nice and warm wherever I go.
Yes, I was going to say, you won't need a coat.
No.
Right, shall we start the podcast?
Yes, let's do it.
Molly Green and
Darren Rudge.
I saw Monty Don just going hell for leather with a hoe.
I'd certainly keep them going all the year round.
The Happy Garden. Well, Monty Don needs to be very, very careful because if he is beggaring about with his hoe and then he gets distracted by a Safinia that needs deadheading and he puts his hoe down and walks off, well, it's an accident waiting to happen because about 10 minutes later when Monty Don comes strolling through the garden, he'll tread on the end of that hoe and whack, he'll have broken his nose. We are talking accidents today on the Happy Garden podcast. Morning, Darren.
Morning.
All right.
I'm not laughing at Monty breaking his nose, by the way.
No,
I wouldn't do that.
Theoretically, breaking his nose. I bet you, seeing as you've been in horticulture, Darren Rudge, for a while, I wasn't sure how to phrase that then, for a while, I bet you've got some tales to tell throughout the podcast today.
Oh, yes, I can tell you. Mm. Tell you a few things.
Yes.
Share my scars.
Well, there'll be a bit of a scar off. My husband, he's got a huge scar on his leg. We might ring him a little bit later on. I know it was something to do with a hedge trimmer, but yeah. You know in Jaws, when they have a scar off on the boat just before the shark comes?
You know, we must be telepathetic because I was just thinking of that moment.
Were
I was just
you?
About to say it and you said it before
oh
me.
Oh my goodness, isn't that weird? Show me the way to go home.
We'll have a scar off.
We'll have a scar off a little bit later on. But on a serious note, ROSPA will join us, the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents, a little bit later with some advice for safety in your garden. Got a few tales from you guys as well. Andy Lound is here with the Horticultural Histories of Rhubarb today.
Yes, fantastic. Rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb.
By the way, he has done us the history of the box, but I'm putting it away for a rainy day. Right.
You're putting it in a box?
Yeah, well, Darren, here we go. You're on fire already. I've boxed off the box for when it's necessary. All right. What else are you doing today, Adaz?
I've got a money-saving tip. My Sow and Grow is concentrating on growing veg in small spaces.
Mm.
So, got quite a bit to tell you about that. Okay. I have then jokes. And then, of course, we'll have some jobs for the week ahead.
Nice.
How about that?
Yeah, nice.
All of this and more still to come on
The Happy Garden
with Molly Green and Darren Rudge.
Shall we start with some jobs for the week ahead?
We can. My coffee has just arrived.
Oh, OK.
Thank you, Mrs. Darren.
Excellent. Enjoy.
Thank you, Mr. Darren.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Let's crack on.
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes. Two and a one. And go.
Weekly mowing of the lawn is now necessary. Not weekly, but weekly. Okay, as it encourages your lawn to thicken up. But if we're going into May, you can adopt No Mow May, folks. So officially, you don't have to mow your lawn. Lawns that are poorly growing and sometimes suffer with moss really do need a good work through. So aerate and scarify and apply a top dressing, folks. So the top dressing really is to be worked into those holes where that you've actually aerated your lawn. And that will improve the subsurface conditions and help you to basically improve the drainage of your lawn. Keep your lawn edges well trimmed as well. If it's not already done so, apply some wood ash or potash fertiliser to your fruit trees, okay, just to push them into growth. Remember, potash is responsible for fruit and flowers, so you want some down now so that you'll get those lovely fruit and flowers coming along as soon as possible.
Nice. Thank you, Darren. We'll do some more jobs for the week ahead before we finish the pod a little bit later on. Let me give you all the numbers to get in touch with the Happy Garden podcast. Again, if you're new, a very warm welcome. Lots of the things we do are prompted by you guys listening. I mean, today, as you'll hear very, very shortly, listener Rupert, Rotavator Rupert, got in touch about a problem he had, which we'll hear about in just two ticks, which prompted us to do this episode about safety in the garden. So if you ever want to get in touch about anything you would like this podcast to cover, here are the ways.
Get interactive with Molly. Lovely show. Professionals. Get interactive with Molly and Darren. Follow them on social media. It's a bit like stalking. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast on Instagram or Facebook.
So this week we are talking about accidents in the garden. ROSPA, Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents, will join us a little bit later on to talk about how we prevent accidents in the garden. And as I said, all this came about because lovely listener Rupert the Rotavator got in touch with the podcast with a warning about thorns and how quickly things can go terribly bad. Have a listen to this.
Well, there I was on the allotment, minding my own business. No, I weren't. I was pruning the neighbour's hedge, which I paid for. What happens is, at this time of year, certain varieties of plants, hedging especially, hawthorn, blackthorn, anything with thorns on, basically, they have like a white powder on the stem. It's produced at this time of year. Now, being a bloke, having no brains, not thinking, I get the edge cutter out. Lovely. Oh, don't that look a trick? Oh, dearie me, I've stuck a thorn in my finger. Well, I'm a bloke. You pull the thorn out, you squeeze it, a bit of blood comes out, you flick the blood off. Lovely. That's the job done. Don't the edge look nice? Oh, my finger throbs. Well, that was at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, last Sunday. And I woke up at about 1:30 on the Monday morning, and I thought, God, my hand hurts. I don't know, I feel a bit. I'll go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom, and I thought, I can't move my hand and my arm. My God, that's a... I put the light on, and my hand's the size of a balloon. And it was a lovely red and black and purple colour. I thought, I better ring 111 here, because they do 24 hours. And I explained what had happened, and she says, no messing about, you've got the onset of septicemia. I said, well, I only did it at 1 o'clock yesterday. She said, it doesn't care about time. She said, get yourself off down the hospital. You do not go to the accident and emergency because you'll wait 6 hours and it's too long. She said, you've got 4 hours to get antibiotics. Go straight to the small accident department. She said, I've rang up and booked you in. Anyway, I got there at 1:45 in the morning, and by 2:30, my hand was a lovely colour and I couldn't move it. The doctor come out. They prodded and poked and they did this, that and the other. The National Health Service were brilliant. Now, let's stop messing about now. This was a major infection. I had no idea it was so serious. I thought, it's a little tiny thorn got in my finger. I've pulled it out. I've squeezed a bit of blood out. Job done. It swelled up. My hand went numb. My finger swelled up. That if I'd have got a ring on my finger, that I would have had to have cut it off. It was serious. I ended up on antibiotics immediately, 4 times a day. Not once or twice, like if you've got a bit of an infection and you go to the doctors. 4 lots of antibiotics a day for a week, and antibiotic and antiseptic bandage to go around my finger to be changed every day. I mean, it's all back to normal now. Yes, my finger still hurts. It's still very stiff. I can just about bend it. But the colour's gone. The swelling's gone. I feel a lot better than I did. Let's be serious now. We all like to have a garden. We all like to mess about in the garden. We all prick our fingers now and again. If that wound goes red and you get red lines going up your arm, or like me, you have an allergic reaction to this white powder on certain varieties of plants, get yourself medical attention. 111 were brilliant. If you can get to your doctor, go to your doctor. If, like me, end up at hospital. But you don't have a lot of time. This can be very serious. It does take people's lives. We all laugh about it. We all have a joke about it. But let me tell you, you do not want a helping of it. It was painful. It had me very worried. Do something about it. Don't risk your life.
A real cautionary tale there. He could have died had he ignored it. That's a shocker, Darren.
Yeah, I mean, what people don't realise, Molly, is thorns are loaded with bacteria because it's part of the plant's mechanism for defence.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the prick, it's actually what's inside. So if a bit breaks off, then, you know, that bacteria is transferred to you, and you've got a vascular system, so it's used to pumping things around your body, and that's entirely what happens, isn't it? You know, you get this bacteria into your bloodstream, as Rupert said, and it just gets pumped around your body, and that's entirely what it's meant to do. And, you know, especially roses and things like hawthorn and stuff like that, they're absolutely loaded with bacteria. So, you know, as he said, get it checked out. Make sure you know that as soon as you get the thorn in there, you get it out. You don't leave it in for heaven only knows what could happen if you leave it in there. And get it checked out medically, because it's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. And as Rupert says, people can die and do die because they just think, oh, well, it's only a scratch, you know.
If you start to get the pain, as Darren describing there with vascular system, if it is in your hand, keep an eye on the veins going up your wrist and your arm, because as soon as you see any lines, it's the tracking, isn't it, Darren? And then you know infection has, within an hour or two or hours, set in.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
the danger.
Yeah, that's the big danger. And pester your health professionals. You know, I've had recently, as people know, the ability to use 111 with my eyes and things like, and they are brilliant folks. They're absolutely excellent.
Yeah, you got looked after, didn't you?
And you get through straight away. You're not waiting on the phone for like 20 minutes. And then they take the initial call, and then they will call you back within 10 minutes with a medical profession on the end of the phone. And then, as Rupert says, they can book you into the place where you need to be and get you off there. You know, if you need an ambulance, they'll call the ambulance for you. It's as simple as that. Use the service. It's a brilliant, brilliant service to have that we've got in this country. Use and utilise it, because, you know, don't feel foolish or feel as though you're taking up somebody's time.
Well,
it's better to be safe than sorry, isn't it?
You're just reminding me, excuse me, talking about 111, which I used a year or two ago with the cat bite. And you've just reminded me saying, oh, don't be embarrassed, because I was doing my cat's nails and she warned me. It was totally my own fault. She'd warned me and I carried on. It wasn't a deep bite. It was just a little bite. It didn't even hurt. 1 o'clock in the morning, I woke up in agony. I was so embarrassed. I rang 111. They said hospital. As Darren just said, we'll book you in. Turn up. And I was so embarrassed to put my hand on the table and said, oh, I'm so sorry to take your time. It's just like a scratch. She said, no, you need to go to theatre now. And again, it's exactly what you said, Darren, it's bacteria. You can't be too careful. Well, Rupert's going to be back a little bit later on with the dangers of the hoe.
Great.
Yeah.
What?
Dangers of messing about with hoes in the garden. I have to as well, on the back end of hearing from Rupert, apologise to everyone listening for his casual sexism. It's a bit like you, Darren.
What? What? I don't know what you mean.
You'll probably also ask God if she's a female to make him a coffee. On his way through the gates. He'll put his order in.
I just know I'm going to walk up to the gate and I'm going to go, oh, bugger.
pull your hat down.
It wasn't me.
I think she might have already noticed Rupert because you and I have known Rupert for quite some time. He's been struck by lightning 6 times. So I reckon God's already heard his casual sexism. That's a story for another podcast. 6 times, what are the chances?
6 times, oh my lord.
God love him. On a serious note, Rosper have sent us a little bit of a list of hazards in the garden. Lawnmowers come in at number one, Darren. 6,500 accidents per annum with lawnmowers. Mm. One can imagine that's mowing through the cable.
It's not actually mowing through the cable that causes the problem. It's picking the cable up afterwards because your natural reaction is to, oh, look what I've done, and then you go and reach for the cable. Now, if you've not got an RCD on there, a residual current device, to cut off the supply, that cable is then live. So you're then live to your mains and that's what does the damage. So there you go. And I've also seen a lady in flip-flops slip and go underneath a Flymo. And she lost a couple of toes.
Oh, don't.
Sorry.
You really?
Yeah, really.
Mowing on flip-flops, is it?
On a bank.
Oh, flip-flops. My goodness. You know, we had Pete Waterman on the Happy Garden podcast not long ago.
Yeah.
And you know, we were playing games with Pete on how to do gardening puns with his songs, as you've just heard. Well, I don't know if we used it or not, but I've just thought of one as you were talking. For lawn mowing, shocked by the power. Ooh, that was a Kylie, wasn't it? Shocked.
Yeah.
I can't remember if we used that or not. Anyway, then the top 10, flower pots, secateurs, pruners, spades, electric hedge trimmers, plant tub stands and troughs, shears, garden forks, hoses and sprinklers, and then garden canes and sticks is number 10. I know, I think, I'm actually wincing at that. That's going to be an eye thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd imagine with number 10. Ugh. Anyway, back with Rupert a little bit later on. He's got some advice, as I say, what to do with the hoe in your garden. We will do Darren's jokes very, very soon. If you want to get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast, you will be more than welcome to email us. It is thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Be lovely to hear from you on anything that you want to talk about, anything you want us to talk about. thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, you can get in touch if you'd like Andy Lound, Amaze Understand with Andy Lound, who does our horticultural histories every week on the podcast. Anything you'd like him to investigate, to probe for you, again, use our email. And here he is, the gorgeous Andy. Today, it is Historical Histories, focusing on rhubarb.
It's Amaze and Astound with Andy Lound. That's me.
Hello, Murray and Darren. Today, I want to delve into the intriguing history of rhubarb, that versatile and tangy plant that has left its mark on culinary traditions across the globe, not to mention a few pants. Our story begins in ancient China, where rhubarb was initially cultivated for its medicinal properties. The Chinese recognised its roots as a potent laxative and used it in traditional medicine as far back as 2700 BCE. It wasn't until much later, during the Tang great name, Tang Dynasty, 618 to 907 CE, that rhubarb made its way along the Silk Road to Europe. Carried, of course, it wasn't a heavy plant crossing. Never mind. In Europe, rhubarb gained popularity in the 18th century, particularly in England and Russia. Initially, it was still primarily valued for its medicinal qualities. The leaves are poisonous, containing oxalic acid. The leaves can be composted or used to prepare an insecticide. The stem is delicious, and adventurous cooks soon discovered its unique tart flavour. Ooh, I do like a bit of tart. And began incorporating it into recipes, particularly desserts. By the 19th century, rhubarb had made its way to North America, where it found fertile ground in the colder regions. It became a staple in traditional American recipes, earning a place in pies, jams and sauces. During World Wars I and II, when food rationing was prevalent, rhubarb gained even more popularity due to its hardiness and ability to thrive in different climates. Its resilience made it an essential crop in Victory Gardens. In recent years, rhubarb has experienced a resurgence in popularity as people rediscover its unique flavour and versatility, from classic pies to innovative savoury dishes. Beyond its culinary contributions, rhubarb has also inspired cultural references and expressions. In the United States, for example, there's an old saying, "Rhubarb in the garden, famine in the house." This saying reflects the belief that when times are tough, the hardy rhubarb plant can still provide sustenance. There is much rivalry between rhubarb growers in Yorkshire. Yorkshire forced rhubarb, Rheum raponticum, is an out-of-season rhubarb that is first grown outside for a period of 2 years so that the exposure to frost toughens the roots. After initial exposure to the frost, the rhubarb is lifted from the ground and placed into forcing sheds. Once in the darkened sheds, heat is applied, causing the rhubarb to grow quickly in search of light. The rhubarb is harvested by candlelight to maintain the tenderness of the shoots and ensure that growth continues. If the crowns are exposed to too much light, they will cease to grow and photosynthesis will occur, resulting in a bitter flavour. The sticks are harvested by hand to prevent other crowns from rotting due to botrytis. After the rhubarb is harvested, the crowns are composted, ensuring a more sustainable production. This growing process produces rhubarb that is sweeter and more delicately flavoured, with an especially vivid red colour. In terms of colour, the inside of the stem is a bright white and the outside a vibrant blood red. I do enjoy this tangy delight in pies and dishes. I also savour the rich history that accompanies every bite. Time for me to go to the shed and force me rhubarb to greater lengths. So, Molly and Darren, more from the potting shed next time.
I'm Pete Waterman and you're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. It's always better the devil you mow.
Do we do your jokes now, Darren? I'm going to bump them up today.
Blimey heck. Yeah, go on, then. Go on, then.
And you've got a lawnmower joke, you say?
I've got a lawnmower joke.
Exciting. All right, then. Let's have a titter.
Now in the Happy Garden.
It's about time for some Alan titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
Come on, then, lesbian, haven't you?
How does the moon cut his hair, Molly?
How does the moon cut his hair? I don't know. I thought he was bald. But go on.
Eclipse it.
That's good, Darren.
Gold straight away.
Right in, yeah.
Why should you never iron a four-leafed clover?
I don't know. Why should you never iron a four-leafed clover?
Because you don't want to press your luck.
Oh, also good, Darren. Good. Oh, I used to have a patch in the garden that had six-leaf clovers.
Did you?
Yeah.
Extra lucky.
Yeah.
My neighbour cuts his lawn between 12 and 1 a.m. in the morning, Molly.
Why?
Well, when I asked him why he's cutting his lawn at that obscene time, he says his wife insists, "In the midnight hour, you should mow, mow, mow."
Oh, good! Good, because it was good, and good that you managed to squeeze some Billy Idol into the Happy Garden podcast. Very pleased with you on that score, Darren. We should have more Billy on. Good.
My wife bet me I couldn't build a car out of spaghetti.
Yeah.
Should have seen her face when I drove past her.
Oh, good, good, Darren. I'm so pleased with you today. Yet last week's were terrible. This is really good. This is really good.
Got my boombox out in the garden party on Saturday, Molls. Mm. And my neighbour laughed and said it reminded him of the 80s. That's just a stereotype, isn't it?
Darren! Man, that's really clever. Good.
Well, if you like that one, yeah, you'll need a pen and paper for this one. Have you got a pen and paper, haven't you?
I do as it goes. We're on sheet two. I'll use the bottom of sheet two. Go on.
Okay, so I've been given the right to log into the deeper recesses of the Royal Horticultural Society's website. Yeah. It's like the dark web for gardeners, Molly. Mm. And their random welcome password for me is, are you ready? Yeah. 370.
70.
Capital H.
Yeah.
SS.
Yeah.
V.
Yeah.
Next word.
Mm.
0773H. Okay?
Yeah, got it.
Now turn it upside down.
Hello. Rude.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh no, my watch has just given me a loud environment warning. Too loud. Darren! That's worse than boobs on a calculator. Good thing I like
Fantastic.
It.
Oh, that works a treat.
By the way, Darren, last week, only when I re-listened to the podcast, by the way, last week, that I realised what I'd said in post-editing. I wondered why you were laughing so much when I said that listeners could have, you know, could joke off Darren. I said it so innocently. And I thought, what's he laughing about?
I know. I'm sorry.
But if you want to joke
I'm
off,
just
Darren,
rude.
If you want to send any in, you'd be more than welcome. The happygardenpodcast@gmail.com. We'll get you through. Oh, by the way, Dazzler, next week on the Happy Garden Podcast.
Yeah.
I've bagged Chris Baines. Your friend
great.
And mine.
Great man.
He's absolutely gorgeous. He's from your neck of the woods. He lives in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
Chris Baines on the podcast next week. He's going to initially be talking about International Dawn Chorus Day, which lands on the 5th. It's the first Sunday in every May, every year. So it's the 5th this year. He started International Dawn Chorus Day. So he'll explain what it is and why it started. Oh my goodness, he's amazing. TV presenter, horticulturalist, independent environmentalist. He's one of the UK's leading environmentalists, landscape architect. He just does everything. He had, as we know, Darren, the first wildlife garden in Chelsea ever, and nobody at Chelsea Flower Show, no one knew what to make of it, which we'll be hearing about. They all thought he was nuts and that nobody would be interested in wildflowers that attracted bees and this, that and the other. And I think he and the King, actually, the now King, sort of trailblazed 40 years ago with all this stuff.
My daughter studied a degree in animal care and animal welfare and was taught by Chris.
Oh, really?
Chris taught her, she got a picture with him.
Oh,
yeah, it's great.
He's gorgeous.
Lovely bloke. Lovely guy.
Yeah. Well, he's going to
really
be with
nice
us
man.
On the pod. And we'll hear all about his garden as well next week on the pod. Right,
Excellent.
Where are we? Sheet two. Let's turn that over.
Sheet two. One sheet.
One sheet there. Two sheets there. Should we try and ring my husband? I don't know if he's back yet. He's gone to go and get me some car tacks. Let me see if he's around, and then you two can have your scar off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see where he is.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hello. Are you home?
Huh?
Are you home?
Yeah, I'm doing tomatoes.
Oh, of course you are. Oh, okay. Did you get the road tax, by the way? All good?
I've been yet.
Oh, you haven't been yet?
Well, too many tomatoes to do.
Okay.
Tomatoes first, then tax.
Tomatoes, then tax. Darren's here. I thought you two could have some sort of scar off. See who's got the biggest.
Ooh! Just got the biggest. Unbelievable.
We're saying this is a bit like the scene in Jaws where you're on the boat and then you both get your legs out. Yeah. Who wants to go first?
4-inch scar on my right leg where I walked past a fence panel and didn't see a nail sticking out.
Oh,
can you better that one?
I've got a zigzag
shark attack bite just above my knee. I moved to a house years ago with a massive problem head. It was so big, I had to go and buy a big petrol hedge cutter. But obviously, being new to all of this, I just thought, well, I just need the biggest, don't I? But it was only when I paid the money and picked it up and realised how heavy it is, I thought this could be a problem. It was a hot spring day, and I'd been pottering about. I thought, I've got to do the hedge. It took about 3 hours, by which time your arms are aching, all of that sort of thing. And because I've been sweating a lot, I've been trying to keep hydrated with Heineken throughout. So, yeah, as always with these jobs, when you lose concentration, the job was done. I was on my way back to the shed, mission accomplished. And then I saw a big weed. So I thought I'd give it a pull start and just have the weed at the same time. But unfortunately, my arms had become so weak that I pull started it. It started and just swung into my leg.
Oh!
And of course, as I was only a youngster and not a professional back then, I had my shorts on because it's a sunny day. It doesn't look too bad. And then I pressed it with my finger and it opened. And, you know, when your stomach goes cold.
Did you go to hospital?
I didn't, because I had a friend who was a veterinary nurse. So she stapled it for me. A bit of vet rep on. I'm not going up A&E on bank holiday Monday, half cut. They're going to say it was self-inflicted. They might have thought it was a call for help.
You're very lucky that it didn't get infected.
I'm very lucky it didn't do my kneecap, mate, is all I can say.
Yeah.
So the top tip is, Darren, if you've got a big job to do, do it in the morning.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And don't get the Heineken out until the hedge is done. Tomatoes before tax and hedges before Heineken. You've got to have a system.
And
don't trim weeds with a hedge trimmer. I mean, that betters my hawthorn, that the thorn went right the way through my hand. And I had to go to hospital and I had that extracted surgically. But it was only a little. I've still got that scar. And then a ceramic pot that broke and I picked it up. I tried to catch it as it went down and I hadn't got my gloves on. And it just sliced my hand open.
So many hazards. Listen, I'm going to let you get on with your tomatoes. How many have you done?
Well, unfortunately, there's now 132.
The greenhouse has got out of hand. Well, as you were, thank you very much for joining us.
Over and out.
Over and out. Ta-ra, love.
Yeah.
Oh, is that your leg? Let's have a look. Oh, sh**. It is your leg.
That's my scar.
Oh, my God. I'd say yours is probably the same size as my husband's, looking at the picture. Except his is kinky.
What?
Whereas yours doesn't have the bends in it that his does.
You can put that on the pod if you like.
What, on the Facebook? I'm not sure.
You can see where the nail punctured look.
Oh, yes. Hey, look. The dibble.
In the middle.
Obviously, a dibble.
And I obviously walked into it, look, and then
dragged it across. Out. Yeah. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So that's about 20 years old.
Yes, so is my husband's leg. Oh, well, the scar, not the leg.
Now I've shown you my legs, Molly.
Oh, I feel a lot closer to you now, Darren. Oh, well, there is a picture of Rupert's finger on the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page.
Please post, folks.
Yeah. As long as it's
It's a bit, yeah. Just be careful.
Who's buzzing?
What?
Who's buzzing? Is that you?
Oh, it's my phone, yeah.
Who is it?
Oh, it's my landscaper contractor.
Oh, go on, you can answer it, go on.
Oh, no.
Sure?
No.
Oh, no, are you in trouble? No. What do they want? Do they want to know where you are?
I don't know. Well, exactly, yeah.
Okay, all right, let's crack on with the podcast then. He's probably supposed to be on site at 9. Right, where are we? Sheet 3. Now, Mike, let's do Mike. In fact, no, let's do John, and then we'll do Mike. Okay. So, John in Wolverhampton, this is a really, really interesting question that came into the Happy Garden podcast. Molly, Daz, have you had any dealings with playing high-frequency sound, brackets 432 hertz, to plants? And if so, is it worth a go? I know it's supposed to be good for humans when listened to. I'm loving the podcasts, regards, and that's John.
Yeah, it's a fascinating question, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
And there's been lots and lots of studies done on this, Molly. And, yeah, it really does work. Farmers, particularly strawberry farmers, tomato farmers that have glass houses and polytunnels and things like this, actually have speakers up in there and they play music. And certain types of music have been proven to help growth. It's particularly leaf growth, this is. I'm not too sure about fruits, but I've looked into this over a number of years, really. Things like roses, rose growers, play their roses violin music. So they're like violin concertos.
Really?
And other plants, tomatoes, cucumbers and things like that. Yeah, like a little bit of jazz and some classical music. The more sort of rock music tends to upset them, actually. It deters
really?
Things. But they've found out that if you do play rock music, but not for a long period of time, it does deter pests like greenfly, whitefly, blackfly, mealybug, and actually helps plants to deal with diseases like blight and things like that. So, yeah, it really does work. It really, really does work. And there's been some really profound studies that have actually proven that, you know, if you do play music to your plants, especially if you're growing a crop that's leafy, they do put on more leaves than actual plants that just sit there silently and just have water and a fertiliser. So it does really, really work. So I'd give it a go. I really would give it a good try if you could do, you know. And it's fascinating. Just have a look at it. Have a look at the stuff that's out there. And some of the trials that have really been done are absolutely fascinating. You wouldn't believe what they've sort of they've tried, you know, a bit of Beethoven, a bit of Tchaikovsky and, you know, a little bit of jazz and stuff like that. But, yeah. Roses love violin music. Play a little bit of Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto number 2. There you go.
Would you advocate then if you hadn't got a playlist, it would just be something like Classic FM if you needed to choose a radio station?
Yeah, definitely. And just leave it on, you know. And this is what the growers do. They have speakers in the polytunnels and they just leave the radio on. And anything is better than nothing at all.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's like when we used to leave the dogs in. On their own for a couple of hours. We leave the radio on for them. Just keeps them company, doesn't it? You know, do the same for your houseplants. Really does work. It really, really does work.
Oh, fabulous. That's absolutely fascinating. Thank you for the question, John. Hopefully that's answered it. Yeah, and if people do give it a go and stick a radio in the greenhouse or next to your houseplants, let us know if they put a spurt on, as it were. Stay exactly where you are. We'll be back very, very shortly. Rosper joining us on the Happy Garden podcast. We'll have Darren Seed Sowing Masterclass and we'll return to Rupert, who has some advice on what to do with a hoe. Stay there.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Darren, do you want to do your seed sowing masterclass now?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, shall we?
Yes,
right, let's give you the proper introduction.
My packet of seeds are keen to breed, the tins that overflow.
But what I need is advice to heed. There's so much I don't know. Tell me what to plant on Mondays. Tell me what to sow on Sundays. Tell me when would be a good day. So they shoo hooed up and don't die down. Pitiful.
Right then, Darren. So another episode from your seed sowing masterclass that you've been running on the Happy Garden podcast for a few weeks. What are we doing today?
Well, growing veg in small spaces because our gardens are smaller and some people haven't even got a garden, have they? So, you know, it's remarkable how many delicious vegetables you can fit into a small growing space. Molly, tomatoes, courgettes, potatoes, all can be squeezed into a tight spaces. The key to success is ensuring you make the best use of the space you have with clever planting techniques and the right crops. Seed companies are now frequently producing varieties and vegetables that are dwarf plants. And you can squeeze these into these tightly packed areas that you've got. Or even you can grow them up trellis. That's a new modern technique to save on space, isn't it? Before planting, think carefully about what you want to grow. So nearly all vegetables can be cultivated in smaller areas, but there is no point dedicating to spaces to crops that you're not going to eat and that take up a large amount of room. These include asparagus, Brussels sprouts, celery, squashes and main crop potatoes. Those are the things that you might want to avoid if you've got a small space. It's a good idea to choose vegetables that are inexpensive to buy as seed, but expensive in the shops. Taste better when fresh and are quick to grow. Many legumes, peas and beans fall under all of these categories. So you've got runner beans, broad beans, French beans and peas. Dwarf varieties grow well in containers, whereas climbing ones make excellent use of the vertical space, such as walls and fences, while also looking attractive. So you can have a really attractive growing crop as well as eating them. If you only have a small space in which to grow vegetables, you should grow crops that will be out of the ground within a few weeks rather than keeping them there for months. If you are growing potatoes, grow new potato varieties that will be ready to eat in July rather than main crop varieties that you may have to wait until September. Have seedlings of other vegetables on standby. So once you've got one crop out, you can put another crop in. And there again, you're making best use of space. Things like brassicas, such as winter cabbage, broccoli seedlings, can be planted after you've harvested all your peas and beans. Intercropping is another good idea. You could try growing fast and slow growing crops together. This is called intercropping to maximise the space. So in summary, folks, if space is limited, choose crops which you love to eat and which are expensive to buy in shops but cheap to buy as seeds. Avoid growing crops that take up a large amount of space, such as asparagus, or take months to grow, such as pumpkins and parsnips. Grow fast-growing crops, such as lettuce, radish and beetroot, around the base of larger plants such as potatoes and tomatoes, and have seedlings of crops on standby to go straight into the soil once harvested crops have been taken out. There you go. They're sowing and growing in a small space.
Done.
The Happy Garden Podcast.
Well, we're going to be hearing from ROSPA very, very shortly, the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents, here on the Happy Garden Podcast. But Mike's been in touch, Daz, and he says back in August 2015, he says, "Molly, I tried to catch a falling electric hedge trimmer. I succeeded, but also very much failed. Working in a narrow space above my head, gravity got the better of the trimmer, so it started to swing down. Not wanting to drop it onto the paving or have it hit the support wires, I brought my left hand up to catch it. The motor should have stopped when I let go of the trigger, but it hung on for a second or two and my left ring finger went into the blades." I'm going to paraphrase the rest of the email there. And hospital did a very good job, he says. 12 stitches. I'm very lucky that it did heal well. He's got some movement of his finger back within 4 months. The only difference now is a slight numbness, occasional mild electric shocks from nerve damage. They say never try and catch a falling knife. Molly, you can add soldering irons, brackets, you only do that once. Oh, my God. And hedge trimmers to the list. And that was Mike. Oh, God, I don't know what the soldering iron incident was. That doesn't sound good either.
Yeah, and it just proves my point earlier, really, about cutting the cable on your lawnmower, because just a natural reaction, isn't it? It's like me with the pot, you know, the ceramic pot. Just a natural reaction to go and try and catch it. You've got to remember that these things have a memory. You know, you think it stops instantly, but it doesn't. And my contractor friend was cutting a hedge with a petrol hedge trimmer, had turned the hedge trimmer off, but got a big piece of the hedge stuck in the actual blades, and then basically went to pull it out, and this thing just went chop, chop, okay, because it's got a memory, and it has to go through the cycle to finish. And I ended up taking him to hospital because he cut through his finger.
Well, let's get Rosper on. Earlier on in the week, I spoke to safety advisor Phil LeShirley from Rosper about the fact there are lots of garden-related accidents every year.
Yep, that's right. It's important to enjoy the garden, obviously, but to enjoy it safely. And here at Rosper, we've developed some advice for gardeners to ensure that they don't accidentally injure themselves, because no one wants that.
Yeah. Well, Phil, you've obviously developed this little list and, you know, gathered this information in response to the fact that you guys at Rosper must hear or historically have heard of a lot of garden accidents then?
Yeah, we do. And they do range in type. So hear about people being electrocuted as a result of using garden tools and mowers. And you can use something called a residual current device, an RCD, which you basically plug in to the socket before plugging the product in, so that if you do cut through the wire, you're not going to get electrocuted. So it's things like that. We hear about poisoning and chemical burns from chemicals being used in the garden. Sadly, there are still reports of children drowning in garden ponds and stuff. But the majority tend to be either injury when doing DIY outside or falls. And one of the main things, actually, is around ensuring that children don't have access to these products. That's a really, really important thing, as I'm sure you would appreciate.
Well, yeah, the garden must be such an exciting place for a youngster. And you mentioned chemicals and bottles filled with liquid. And what does this spade do? What does this fork do?
You can
see how accidents do happen with little ones.
Yeah, and the most important thing from our perspective is it still should be fun. You know, we're not the fun police, and we don't expect any of your listeners to be either. The garden is a wonderful place to enjoy, both for us and for our children and grandchildren. It's just about having some sensible measures in place to ensure that injuries don't occur or accidents don't occur and can be avoided. So one of the main ones is trips, slips and falls, you know, and that can be from children running around. We're never going to stop that. But that can also be us gardeners and just people enjoying our garden.
Phil, exactly that. Do you know, I've been putting off, and I've been saying for weeks to my husband, I have got to get the power washer out, because there is an area outside which is green from all the rain. It's been raining for months now. And I went out the other day in some old shoes that didn't have very good soles, and I went over. And I still haven't power washed it, but don't put things off, I think, is a good bit of advice.
Well, that is a good piece of advice. And, you know, there is a flip side to that, though, which is, you know, it's better to put something off than attempt it. If you haven't got the right equipment,
that's true.
You aren't sure about it, or the conditions aren't right. Now, one of the things that we do advocate for consumers not to be afraid to get professionals in when they feel they need it. So, for example, if you've got a lawn that's on a slope, an elderly gardener might not be able to safely mow that lawn each time in the way that they would want to. But it's a bit of a pride thing, isn't it? You know, people don't like getting someone in to do their lawns and stuff. But sometimes a compromise can be found where once a fortnight they'll get someone in to do the lawn, but actually they'll still tend the flowers and the beds themselves. You know, sometimes it's appropriate just to get someone in just to once a year do all the patio. They'll come in all of the gear, and they'll do it very effectively.
And they'll have an idea.
You know, I'm as guilty of it as anyone else. It's very easy to say, do you know what, I've got the washer and I've got the stuff, you know, I'll just do it myself. But sometimes the right answer is to get someone in, but that's not always the case.
But Phil, wasn't it, I don't know the whole story. I know it was B&Q, but I don't know the whole story. I only sort of half saw it in the news. but they'd had an advert running saying, go on, do it, basically do it yourself. And I saw a bit of the advert with people donning goggles and a woman smashing a wall down. And I think there was a little bit of a... with a lump hammer. There was a little bit of a backlash that... Yes, you can give it a go if it's within your skill set, because I think there was a rise in incidents, accidents, hospital visits after that ad went out.
I can't speak to that ad specifically, but what I can say is you're absolutely right about, you know, making a decision about whether something's within your skill set. But yeah, one needs to think broader than that. One needs to think, okay, is this within my skill set? But do I also have the right safety equipment? Do I have goggles? Do I have proper gloves? Do I have steel toe cap boots in case a brick falls on my foot? All of those things need to go into the decision-making process before one embarks on it. And then it's things like, you know, are the conditions right? The weather itself can make an activity unsafe. For example, going up a ladder and clearing a bush, absolutely fine normally. If it's windy, shouldn't be done. So it's taking a step back and just thinking about things through a sensible lens and saying, do you know what, we're all adults, we're perfectly capable of making these decisions. Let's just make these decisions sensibly and safely, taking into account of all of the factors and not just one or two.
Okay, thank you.
But most importantly, we really advocate just enjoying the garden. I love being out in my garden.
What does your garden look like?
It looks very nice, but that's not down to me. So we have a gardener that comes in once a fortnight just to look after the main bits, you know, just the lawn and the hedges. And we don't really have any. So it's low maintenance and it looks nice, but I'd love to take credit for it, but it's certainly not down to mine.
Well, you delegate, Phil. You delegate, which is equally as important. So there we go.
Yeah. I can tell my wife that.
You've got our seal of approval. Listen, it's lovely to have you on the Happy Garden Podcast. Thank you so, so much, Phil, and I hope we do speak in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me on. And if you ever need anything at all, you're very welcome to come back to us, OK?
Phil LaShirley there from Rosper. Now, Darren, have we done everything?
Yeah. Oh, no!
Oh, no, we've got to do Rupert and his hoe.
Good, my money-saving tip.
Your money-saving tips. God, I was about to sign off there and we haven't actually finished.
Brace yourselves.
It's a bit weird. Right,
little Monty brace insert. Yourself. Right. Well, bracing ourselves for your...
Now, live on the Happy Garden Podcast, it's time for...
Darren's money-saving tips.
Go, man, go.
Caffeine and other related compounds are potent natural insecticides. In fact, this is the way coffee and tea actually ward off pests, folks. So don't go out and buy those noxious chemicals. Use coffee and tea. All you need to do is to mix 2 tablespoons of coffee or tea into 4 cups of water and allow it to stand for 24 hours. Pop it in your spray bottle and spray away. It's so simple. And that's it, really. That's my money-saving tip for this week. And you'll ward off slugs, snails, black fly, green fly, blue fly, pink fly, whatever fly, if you use caffeine. There you go. Don't throw your coffee grinds away, nor your tea leaves. Use them in the garden, folks, to ward off those nasty, noxious beasties and bugs.
Lots of coffee shops give them away free as well, don't they?
They do, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can pick them up at your supermarket coffee shops as well. They'll give you the silver bag full, won't they?
I know Waitrose do it. They actually have a little bin outside so you can just scoop your own.
Costa Coffee do it. Mm-hmm. And Starbucks, my favourite. Starbucks do it. I love a Starbucks. I really do. Mm. But, pick them up. Use and utilise it. And save yourself pounds. Cool. Lots and lots of money.
Gotcha. There you go. Yeah! As always, you are more than welcome to get in touch if you've got any money-saving tips as well. I'm right chair dancing here.
Good music, isn't it?
It is. TheHappyGardenPodcast@gmail.com if you want to get in touch. Do you know what I haven't told you? I think I told you in the week, but I've forgotten to mention on the pod.
What's that?
We have smashed into the Norwegian podcast charts this week. Yeah. Yes! Wow. We went straight in at number 10 on the Norwegian podcast charts, the Happy Garden Podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, yes.
Can't be bad, can it, really? No. I mean, I wonder what the Norwegians think of us.
Well, they must like us if they're listening. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Good morgen. That's all I know. But thank you very, very much. As always, we say, if you're listening around the world, get in touch and let us know where you are listening. It would be lovely to hear from you. And it would be nice as well if you did get in contact, and maybe I could give you a bell one day, and so we can have a little chat and play it out on the podcast about your garden. If you live in foreign climes, how you garden, you know, how your plants cope, what your climate is, and how your gardening will differ to our gardening. It'd be fascinating to hear, wouldn't it, Dazzler?
That'd be brilliant, yeah. That would be really, really good to compare. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Get in touch, please do.
Yeah.
And again, if you live in Vietnam, come and get in touch with us. Fantastic.
Oh, well, hang on. Oh, I haven't got my iPad with me. There was a couple of new countries this week that I did write down, but it's in the other room. Saudi Arabia was one of them.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the other one. So hi if you're listening in Saudi Arabia as well.
Excellent.
Right, so it's just Rupert and his hoe now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just leaning over to find Rupert and his hoe. There he is. Right then, so, yeah, let's conclude our Happy Garden podcast this week, talking about just how dangerous gardening can be and some of the hazards in the garden. And this was all kicked off by Rotavator Rupert and his blackthorn prick, which ended him up in hospital overnight. He also wanted to tell us about the hazards of hoes.
You're in the garden, you're hoeing away, you're digging, you're raking your lawn. Rakes is the prime one, and hoes. You're raking or you're hoeing, and do you put your hoe and your rake down properly? Of course you do. You throw it on the floor and you pick your spade up or whatever, and Bob's your uncle. You get on with what you're doing. 10 minutes later, you turn round to get the packet of seeds to sow them. You tread on the end of the hoe or you tread on the rake because you've left the rake tines, the pointy bits, pointing upwards. And this here handle comes whipping up into the air, and next thing you know, you've got a black eye or you've got a broken nose. Yes, if you look at me closely, you'll see there's a line across my nose. Well, I broke my nose. Luckily, the good bit, I didn't damage the rake. But I did end up with a broken nose. So when you're using garden implements that you're going to chuck on the floor, put them with the pointy bits or the sharp bits facing down and put your foot on them and press it into the ground. That way, when you go to get it in a few minutes' time or half an hour or whatever, or God forbid, your friend, your family, or the missus and kids come down, they don't do the same. Because how would you feel if your missus or kids broke their nose? Be sensible, be safe, think about what you're doing. These are only garden tools, but they ain't half dangerous if you don't do the right thing with them.
Again, another cautionary tale. Thank you, Rupert, and thank you for getting in touch in the first place, because he's what sparked off our conversation, the topic of our podcast today, isn't he, Darren?
I mean, I would advocate as well that if you are using a rake, stand them up with the head against a fence so that you can't stand on the head, the comb, if you like, and fling it forwards. When I used to work on the local authority, I saw a gentleman take his eye out with a rake. He literally did what Rupert... No, not at all. It flicked and it hit him right at the base of his eye.
Oh, man.
And he lost his sight. So, you know, it does happen. It really does happen. It's so quick when once you either you're into a job or you're working away and you're so involved with it, and then you step backwards or you step forwards and you've not quite seen the rake in your peripheral vision. I would always advocate that you move it out the way, you stand it with the head upright against the fence so the head is up in the air and you can't stand on it then.
Yeah, make that a habit when you're finished. Know.
Or if you're working next to a tree, again, stand it against the tree. Just make it that as habit. And when I'm training students, folks, that's exactly what I tell them. And when I'm examining people, I stop people from working in the middle of their examination and I tell them to pick the rake up off the floor, put it in the wheelbarrow or stand it up.
I tell you what, Mr. Green always advocates. I think I've mentioned this before on the pod, and it's so, so sensible. Especially seeing as hoes and rakes, they're generally, unless you've gone and bought one from Homebase B&Q like lately, they're generally brown with a wooden handle, with a black or a metal, you know, top. So they're camouflaged. Mr. Green always, always has reflective bright orange ribbon tied to the head of all tools. A, so that doesn't happen. And then B, it's quite easy, isn't it, to lose a small tool in the hedgerow or in the bush or in the soil. If you put it down, you can't find it because it's the same colour as the soil. Always tie a very brightly coloured ribbon round and then you're more likely to notice your tools before an accident happens.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and that's entirely... But that's the same with canes, isn't it? That's why
yes.
cane toppers are green. So, you know, if you buy cane toppers, or, you know, if you drink a lot of pop, you know, just an old plastic bottle on top makes an excellent cane topper. Or tennis ball, an old tennis ball.
Yeah.
I can guarantee when I take Bear for a walk, every time, wherever we walk, he'll find a tennis ball. Somebody's lost a tennis ball, and Bear has this, you know, ability to go and find them. So put an old tennis ball on top of the cane, and it stops you poking your eye out, doesn't it? Or an old Coke bottle or pop bottle, something like that. Yeah. Just a little 500 milliliter ones, and reuse, recycle. You know, reapply
repurpose.
Something.
Yeah,
repurpose.
Listen, before we finish the podcast, you've just reminded me, our folk love the pictures that you put on the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page of your walks with the dog and all the wildlife and the foliage that you spot and the beauty that you walk in. Thank you for all those pictures. People love them.
Yeah, well, we went for a walk the other day. We'd been walking for 5 hours. It was just a lovely day, and we just went down to the local canals and stopped off, had a bit of lunch, and then walked back. And 32,000 steps later,
oh, my goodness.
That's approximately 11.5 miles there and back. I think the dog thought, God, he got in, he just slumped down on his bed and just went to sleep.
I'll bet.
But I mean, the wildlife and you know, nature in our local cities, you know, this was between Bloxwich and Wensfield, where I live. I mean, nesting herons, I saw a duck family with the little ducklings and a coot family with the little cootlings, if that's what they're called.
I hope they are.
And herons seemed to want to follow us because he kept swooping down and sort of landing in front of us. Butterflies out, bees out, plants in flower, you know, honesty, hazel, willow, all those sorts of things. Absolutely wonderful. And just you know, away from the traffic, you're walking down, meeting people as well. And they're so lovely. So lovely. People are so lovely. I mean, I've got a big fluffy dog, obviously, which attracts attention. And they just want to come up and stroke him. But, you know, the conversations you have, it's fabulous. And it was a lovely, lovely day. And we just had a really, really nice time just walking.
Nice. And the good thing is those days, I mean, it is still raining, my goodness, but those days are becoming more frequent. Those blue, when you wake up in the morning and everything is blue and green with the sky and the, you know, the verdant new growth. Oh, it's just lovely. We've got so much to look forward to. This podcast has been lovely. Next week, Chris Baines, as we say, is going to join us on the Happy Garden Podcast. And it's also forthcoming on the 4th of May, Darren, something that you love. World Naked Gardening Day.
Oh, yeah. Which we'll be talking about as well. Take part.
Obvs. Got to support the...
Post pictures.
Well, can you? No, you're not allowed nudity, are you, on Facebook? They wouldn't let you.
No.
Good bluff. You have to pixelate yourself. Anyway, thoroughly enjoyed. I'm going to have to pack up and go. I'm interviewing Duncan Goodhue in half an hour.
Oh, really?
Yes. Such a media day, darling.
Oh, just drop that one in.
Can't keep Duncan waiting. I used to love Duncan Goodhue. Well, I still do. Right, Darren, thank you. Thank you so much for the podcast today. It's been absolutely fab. What are you doing today? I need to get dressed. What are you up to when we're done?
Oh, I've got boring things to do, like plant plants and write a study pack and things like that.
Proper RHS work.
Enjoy. Well, that's about it then, folks. Thanks. Thank you ever so much for listening to the podcast. And obviously, you know, there's no excuse now. Might be raining. I was out in the rain yesterday and I did post some pictures on the pod
to
show.
I was
picking plants in the rain. So it's joyous. Just get out there, get into your garden and have a really happy gardening week. And listening to the Happy Garden Podcast,
yes,
of course.
Of course, yeah. And thank you very much for listening to us today. Here are the numbers to get in touch in the week. As we said a little bit earlier on, anything you want Darren and I to focus on, it's your podcast, so do get in touch. And we'll see you next Friday.
You've been listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to send them an email, get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast by emailing thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.